Word of God in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 is a very brief chapter, and I want to read the whole chapter to you tonight. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about the man. I'm talking about the man, not the Lord Jesus Christ, not God, but I'm talking about a man that I believe is mentioned more times than any other man's name is found in the Bible. Now, it's a surprising thing. I'm going to talk to you about Abraham. He's an Old Testament character, but would you believe that Abraham is mentioned no less than 70 times in the New Testament? I'm not talking about the Old Testament, where he's mentioned scores and hundreds of times, but there are 70 verses in the New Testament that have to do with Abraham. He's such a tremendous man and stands for so much in the Bible. And I want to speak to you about Abraham tonight and five great crises in his life and five things he looked for. And let's notice now in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he'd made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And I just love this verse. I'm not going to speak from it tonight, but it closes with this wonderful statement, We be brethren. How much heartache, how many tears, how much strife and trouble and division could have been avoided had people looked at things like Abraham did. Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee, Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now will you notice verse 14 with me tonight as a starting place? I want to speak to you tonight on what we might call five forward looks of a man of God. There are five times in the Bible where the Lord told Abraham to take a forward look. Lift up your eyes and look. There are five references to this in the Word of God. And I want to start tonight with verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now Abraham is a tremendously important man in the Bible. I doubt tonight, unless we are reminded of it and caused to think about it, that any of us would realize just how important Abraham is to everyone in this building tonight. There's something said of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, and by the way, that whole chapter has to do with the justification, being made righteous in the eyes of God, of Abraham. And notice the strange place it is found. It is found in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. And in that chapter, Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. So tonight, we need to realize Abraham's not just the father of the Jewish nation of people and of the Jewish people that believe, but the Word of God teaches that Abraham is the father of all them that believe. Now here's a man that was so important to God, and such a friend of God, and so obedient to God, and walked so closely to the Lord, that the Lord did a wonderful thing for him. You know, before the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, paradise and Hades both were down, and there was a gulf between the two. You read of the tremendous story in the 16th chapter of Luke of a rich man who died, and in Hades, or hell, lifted up his eyes, and of a poor man who died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And God thought so much of Abraham that he called the place where saved people went, where the children of God went before the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, he called that place Abraham's bosom. I don't know how God could ever compliment and favor any man any more than he did Abraham in the Bible. Now, five times in the Bible, and I'm going to give you the first one. We just read it tonight in verse 14 of chapter 13. But five times in the Bible, God said to Abraham, I want you to look, take a forward look. And I'm going to give you the last one, and then we're going to discuss these five looks, forward looks of Abraham. The last time Abraham took a forward look is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham looked for the city that you and I call heaven, and the city that John in the book of Revelation called the holy city. But there are five great times in this Bible where God said to Abraham, I want you to take a forward look. Now, had I the time tonight, I would like to see in each instance, but will not stop in each instance. He took the look, a look of separation. Abraham took a look of renunciation. He took a look of salvation. And he took a look of what I call anticipation. And then lastly, he took a look at his destination, which is a city called heaven, whose founder, builder, and maker is God. Now, each of these looks that Abraham took, this is what we'll not take the time in each instance to develop, but I'd like for you to think about it. Every time God said to Abraham, I want you to look at something. It was a look of faith. It was not something he could claim by sight. It was something that he had to believe God for, which he could not presently see. It was a look of faith. It marked in Abraham a growth in grace. Abraham was not perfect. There never has been a perfect man, and there never has been a perfect woman. There's never been a perfect person on the face of the earth. You can take the great characters of the Bible, and you find that every one of them, as we often say, had feet of clay. Abraham was not perfect, but Abraham was a growing Christian, and he was growing in grace and maturing in the Lord. And every time God said, Abraham, I want you to look at something, it marked an experience in his life when he grew in grace and in the knowledge of God and his plan. Not only that, but every time God said to Abraham, I want you to look at something, it meant that it showed an increase in the knowledge of God. Every time God told him to look, he learned more about God in every instance. Not only that, when Abraham took this look that God told him to take five times, he came to a greater understanding of God's future for him and for all of his descendants. Now, those things are true of all these five forward looks of Abraham. But let's quickly look at these five forward looks of a man of God. Now, Abraham had a nephew by the name of Lot. I've heard people argue whether or not it was of God that Lot be with Uncle Abraham in the first place. When the Lord spoke to Abraham down in Ur of the Chaldees, he said to him, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house and from thy family unto a land that I will show thee. But when Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, he brought with him a young man, a nephew. Perhaps he was a member of Abraham's family. It may be that Lot's father was dead, and so Abraham took his nephew with him. When they reached the land where God had appointed them to be, their herds and cattle grew in such a wonderful way. God blessed Abraham and Lot. And the Bible just plainly said, Abraham was rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. Don't ever get the idea that there'll be no wealthy people in heaven. For many people in the Bible might be considered wealthy people who love God and walk with God. But Abraham was wonderfully blessed to the Lord. And one day the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham begin to strive one with another. And Abraham speaks so spiritually. He says to his nephew Lot, he said, now Lot, let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren. He's saying, both of us know the Lord. Both of us know God. Let there be no strife between us, we two, because we be brethren. And Abraham said to Lot, now you pick out which way you want to go, and what is left I will take. And the Bible tells us, Lot lifted up his eyes and looked toward the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he saw the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And old Lot thought, my, look at all the beautiful grass. The Bible says the well-watered plains. And Lot said, I can raise more cattle. I can make more money. I can become richer by the day. But God said, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were exceedingly wicked before the Lord. But Lot made his choice. Then God said to Abraham, I want you to lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou standest, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, and I will give you all the land as far as you can see, and further I'll give to you. And God said, Abraham, I want you to take this look. Now I want you to think of these two men. You know, Lot looked on a level, and Abraham looked on an incline. And that's what every Christian ought to do. Abraham looked on the level, and on the level view, all you can see is the things of this world. But Abraham looked on the incline. Like the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. So Abraham said, take the plain, if you will. Take the level look, if you will. But I will take the upward look. And God blessed him. It was a look of separation. Now Lot was separated. And this land of Canaan was given to Abraham's seed forever. Eight times in the book of Deuteronomy, it is called, God calls it, thy land, not his. He said, I'm giving it unto Abraham and to his descendants. And eight times in one book, God refers to it as thy land that God gave to Abraham that day. Now Lot looked toward Sodom and became a friend of Sodom. Abraham looked toward God and he became a friend of God. And this is the look of separation. And I say to you tonight, my friend, there's a bell that needs to be rung in our pulpits, and there's a principle taught in the Bible that needs to be emphasized over and over again in this day in which we live. And that is that separation is still taught in the Word of God. Come out from among them, God says, and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters unto me. Be not unequally yoked together, God says in this word. You see, the Bible demands separation. And here Abraham is willing to separate even from a loved one in order to see what God wanted him to see. Now just, there's some things in sequence. Notice, first of all, he saw a land. And he was promised something else, but that's all God told him to look for in this look. He unconsciously approached one of the greatest crises of his whole life. And he took the kind of a look on the incline God told him to take, and God gave him a great land. God's never gone back on that promise. And just as sure as you're sitting in those seats tonight, the children of Abraham are going to possess the land of Israel, which is far much more than what's called the nation of Israel. But this whole world is going to be turned upside down. And God said, I'll overturn until the king comes. And God is going to give this land again to the nation of Israel. I don't care about Russia. I don't care about all these nuclear bombs. God said to Abraham, I'll give you this land and to your seed forever. Look up! Abraham and claim it by faith. And Abraham did, and 8 times in one book, God said, it's your land. And God is no Indian giver. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, says Romans 11:29. Now let's look this a little further. Abraham took what we choose to call a look of renunciation. He had to renounce something. He had to turn his back on something. In the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, you read about Abraham going to war, taking all the bounty and much riches, comes back and meets a man by the name of Melchizedek, who's a type of Christ. Melchizedek says, you take all this. You've been to war, you deserve it. Abraham said, no, I'll not take even from a latchet a shoestring. I'll take none of it. He said, for God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And then in chapter 15, God tells him to take another look. In chapter 15, God looks at Abraham, and he's made a promise unto him that one day there's going to come out of his own loins a natural son who's to be his descendant and who's to be another patriarch of the Jewish people. And that son has never been born. Abraham approaches 100, Sarah 90, and in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, God said to Abraham, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now he had just refused the loot of Sodom, because during this war he rescued Lot out of Sodom and took all the spoil. He had refused the loot of Sodom, and God promised him instead a people. You see, when he looked the first time, God gave him a land. Now he looks a second time, and God gives him people for that land. Now you know, this is the look of renunciation. You have to renounce something. I believe a Christian comes to the place in their life when they must take the look of renunciation. And Abraham took it. He refused the loot of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the loot of war. And God said to him, now you look abroad, look toward heaven. And he said, can you number the stars? No man, no one can. And he said, neither will you be able to number the people, the descendants that I'm going to give you. I believe that a Christian, if you're going to have some people, if you're going to win some people, you see, the Lord's not talking about land now. He's talking about people. And I believe if you're going to win some people, you're going to have the look of renunciation in your life. I think of the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, where it's talking about how to be a disciple of the Lord. And in that chapter, there's a man comes to Jesus, and he makes the offer and opens up the conversation himself. Man comes to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He made a tremendous statement. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if everybody in this house could make that statement? Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Doesn't make any difference where it is. If you go, I'll follow you anywhere. And a man said that to Jesus while he was here on this earth. Now Jesus answered him this way. He said, the birds of the air have their nests, the foxes of the field have their holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And you know what you find in the Bible? Silence. There's no answer from the man. There's no comment about him. There's every reason to believe that when Jesus said, if you're going to be a soul winner, it means you will have to sacrifice. There's nothing but silence. And he gave up soul winning, and he gave up the winning of people because he wasn't willing to pay the price. Now another man is involved. Jesus opened the conversation to him. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now what Bible students believe that this is saying is that he is not saying, my father's dead, I have to have a funeral. He's saying, let me stay home till father dies. And when father dies and he's buried, then I'll follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And there's more silence. No one knows whether this man said all right. I know God will take care of my father. I want to win people. And so I'll follow you now. And there's nothing said in the Bible to let us know which way it went with this man. But there was a third man. Another also said, Lord, I would follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Let us have a big farewell party. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What I'm saying is, if you're going to get some people, if you're going to be a soul winner, it's going to cost you something. And the reason tonight so many people who profess to be on their way to heaven are not winning any people is because they're not willing to pay any price in order to be a soul winner. Talking in our home the other day about wondering how many people in this world are saved Christians and have never won their first soul to Jesus Christ. You know, you can never win number two till you win number one. And this our churches are filled with people who have never won a soul to Jesus Christ. Somebody mentioned the precious mother today and asking prayer. She said the mother was in the 80s and ill and asked prayer for the mother. I thought of my mother. My mother had four brothers. There was no salvation in our family except my mother had been saved as a girl until the Lord saved me in 1935. But my mother had four brothers. All of them have been dead for years. One of them lived into the 80s. At least two of them died of lung cancer from smoking. But my mother won every one of her brothers to the Lord. And when my mother, who would be 93, or 92, the 15th day of this month, 15th day past, 92 years of age, when she gets to heaven, my mother is going to meet the oldest one, Fred, and Louis, and Oscar, and Felix, on the banks of the river of life, because she won them to Jesus Christ. And I say unto you tonight, we need to take the look of renunciation, no matter what the cost, no matter what tie needs to be broken, no matter what relationship needs to be severed, soul winners must pay a price. That's the teaching of the Bible. It doesn't cost anything to be a Christian, but there's a price to pay to be a disciple and a soul winner. Now let's hurry. He took a third look. You know, one day this boy, Isaac, was born. I get thrilled when I think about this, and I often preach from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Many times in conferences, when I'm away, I preach on that text. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That comes out of the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, where these heavenly messengers appeared, and old Abraham's 100 years old, and Sarah's 90. And he says, now, the messengers from heaven say, now, Isaac's going to be born. And about this time of life, other words, Bible students believe that it means in about 9 months, Sarah, you're going to have a baby. And she's 90 years old. And the Bible said, Sarah laughed. She put her hand over her mouth and she snickered. And don't criticize her. Why, if some of you ladies are 90 years old, and go to the doctor, and he says, ma'am, you're expecting a baby. You'd do more than laugh. You'd faint. You'd be like someone when Dr. Rice, shortly before he went to heaven, was speaking at a ladies' jubilee. And Dr. Rice prayed for many young couples who had no children. And they wanted children to dedicate to the Lord. And Dr. Rice, one time in a ladies' jubilee, he was getting old and not too long before he went to heaven, had all the ladies stand. I mean young ladies, single ladies, widowed ladies, grandmothers, married ladies. And he had them all the ladies to stand. And he didn't quite know what the situation was. And he said, and now, Lord, I pray that you'll give babies to all of these ladies. And they said, there's never been such commotion. Said the old ladies sitting down so quickly, they almost hurt themselves. And some fell down trying to get into the seat. But the time has come. She's 90 years of age. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take this son after he's born. 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. First time you read the word love in the Bible. Now, there was love in the Bible before that. But you never read the word love in the Bible till you get to Genesis chapter 22. God said, take now thy son Isaac, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him on Mount Moriah. And Abraham took Isaac. God said, do it. Abraham had learned whatever God said do, do it. It'll work out. And Abraham took Isaac, a shovel of fire in his hand. He put a bundle of wood on the back of Isaac, and the shovel of fire in his hand. And he went up Mount Moriah and built it an altar and set it afire. And he puts his son on the altar and reaches in his bosom and takes the sacrificial knife. And Isaac looks into the eyes of his father and says, Father, here's the altar and the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, Son, God will provide himself a lamb. And I read, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham looked, and there was the ram. And here is the look of salvation. And let me say to you tonight, my friends, and I want to say it in some form or another, every time I preach, unless you've looked to the Lamb of God, you're never going to make it to heaven. And Abraham looked and saw the ram caught in the thicket. And he offered him. This is where you start reading. You don't start, but continue studying in the Bible of substitutionary atonement. And this is where you read of the innocent dying for the guilty. This is where you read of God providing a lamb for the sacrifice. Look, Abraham. Look at the lamb. It's right there. Now, Abraham, first of all, had a land. He didn't have any people. Secondly, God told him to look, and I'll give you some people for that land. Now he says to him, I'm going to give you a redeemer for all these people. Look to the Lamb of God. And someone has written a beautiful song about it. So you see here the look of salvation. There's a fourth look, and Abraham took it, and it's not mentioned in the Old Testament. Now there's some things that Old Testament people did, and there's no record of it in the Old Testament. For instance, there's something Enoch did, and there's no record of it in the Old Testament. Enoch was the one in chapter 5. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But Enoch did something. There's no record of it in the Old Testament. Enoch prophesied of the second coming of the Lord. You read it in the little book of Jude. So there are things that men in the Old Testament did, but no record of it in the Old Testament. And there's no record of this thing about Abraham in the Old Testament. But thank God there is in the New. And that's the look of anticipation. Abraham looked for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus is speaking and he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And that word rejoiced here means leap forward. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He leaped forward to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He looked for the coming of the Messiah. Now, where the record is that he looked for the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament, we do not know. But Jesus just simply said, "Abraham looked for my day, and he saw it and was glad." And you know, I'm looking for somebody tonight. Aren't you? I was thinking just this past week how wonderful it'd be if the Lord had come. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Some of you folks still got payments on your car, and you wouldn't even have to make them. I don't know who'd make them. But the Lord would catch you up. We owe a couple of $100,000, I think, maybe more, on this property here. If the Lord had come, while the modernists come, say, "Look at those buildings, this land," they'd take it. They'd have to pay all that off, see. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord had come? And every Christian is looking for the coming of the Lord. Now notice these looks of Abraham. First of all, God said, "I give you a land." So he had a land, no people. God said, "Now I'm going to give you people for that land." Then God said, these people need a Savior. And he saw the Lamb, and he gave him a Savior for those people. And now he gives him the promise of a coming King for those people. And thank God he is coming. Now, his last look, he looked at his destination. Hebrews 11 and 10 says he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You see, he had a land and no people. God gave him people for the land. Then he had people and no Savior, and God promised him a Savior. And then he had a people and no king, and he promised him a king. Now he promises Abraham a heaven in which to enjoy him forever. You know, when Dr. Charles Fuller, who preached for years and years, we used to listen to him on Sunday nights. Many a night have we turned our radios on, and from Long Beach, California, hear the voice of Dr. Charles Fuller. How many of you ever heard him? Heard Dr. Charles Fuller? Oh, he poured out more gospel than just about anybody you'll ever hear on the radio. And one Sunday night, Dr. Charlie Fuller said, "Now, the Lord willing, next Sunday night, I'm going to preach on heaven." And there was a man. He was a Christian first and a scientist. I have one of the greatest books I've ever read in my life that helped my faith. It was written by Dr. Harry Rimmer, called Genesis and the Science Record. And Dr. Harry Rimmer was old and very ill. And Dr. Charles Fuller announced, "Now next Sunday night, God willing, I'm going to preach on heaven." And Dr. Harry Rimmer was listening to Dr. Charlie Fuller pour out the gospel and preach. And he was very ill, and he didn't know but what very soon he'd be going to his heavenly home. So he sat down and he wrote this letter to Dr. Charlie Fuller. He said, "Next Sunday, you're to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because I've held a clear title to a bit of property there for over 55 years. I did not buy it. It was given to me without money and without price. But the donor purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. It's not a vacant lot. For more than half a century, I've been sending materials out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need to be remodeled nor repaired, because it'll suit me perfectly individually and will never grow old. Termites can never undermine its foundations, for they rest upon the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. I hope to hear your sermon, but have no assurance that I shall be able to do so. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, and no permit for baggage. Yes, I'm ready to go, and I may not be here while you're talking next Sunday evening, but I'll meet you there someday. And that week, the man that wrote that letter died and went to heaven. And tonight, I can just see two old warriors, soldiers of the cross. And maybe Harry Rimmer turns to Charles Fuller and says, "Charlie, you remember the letter you got when you announced you was going to preach on heaven? And I told you I may not be there to hear it, but I told you I'd be in heaven waiting for you." And I can just see them now, tonight, these that believed in the Lord, rejoicing in the eternal city of God. God said to Abraham, "Now you look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." If you've ever studied even casually archaeology, you know that where Abraham came from, Ur of the Chaldees, will show in the excavations the most massive foundations ever built in olden days. But Abraham knew they were not eternal. He knew someday that only be the mute remains and the little mounds. But he knew there was a city that would last forever. Oh, thank God tonight for the home called heaven. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, how do we pray thou bless our hearts tonight and help us to take the inclined look, not the look, the level look, and help us to look at things unseen, not seen. O Spirit of God, tonight, bless thy holy word to all of our hearts. We know there's a price to pay, and sometimes we fear that we'll be able to pay the price to be a good Christian. Lord, help us with it tonight, and may we renounce everything that keeps us from being completely yours, and look for the city which is to be our home forever. I pray in Jesus' name.